When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we have, all the way from Australia, listener, Michelle Laurie.
Hello, thank you for flying me here just for this. This is amazing.
I mean, we're totally big budget now, Michelle.
I know, the hotel is stunning, thank you.
I'm sorry it was EasyJet, but you know, that is a long time for 24 hours, but you know, you're here now, that's what matters.
Right. I had to stand the whole way.
Well, that, apart from that three-week layover in Qatar, I don't know what you're complaining about. Got a little break then, didn't you?
Yeah, it's nice.
She's just eating her body weight in little packets of nuts. She'll be fine, she'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Anyway, Michelle Laurie.
I'm sorry about my voice. I've just come from such a hot climate. I know this is a complete cliche, but I've my body's gone into shock. It's so cold here at the moment. It was 43 degrees when I left Melbourne, and now it's like...
very cold.
How cold? How many zero degrees? And I've got blisters on my feet because I haven't worn shoes in 2 months, and now I'm wearing boots, and I'm out of control.
Like Michelle... I know it was a long flight, but you're not Scott of the Antarctic.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I
honestly,
feel like I am, though.
It's not that bad.
It's like the gods must be crazy. Like, what am I doing?
And is Pret a Manger really that great? Do we need that many of them? So many questions. Is that how you say it? Pret a Manger?
Yeah. Oh, you're doing great.
Your French accent's better than hers, mate.
What's so great.
Yeah.
Pret a Manger. For a sanger.
Okay, so I think it's obvious that Michelle is from Australia.
Yeah.
And she's also a comedian, a presenter, a podcaster, an amazing supporter of charities, mother of twins, basically an Aussie legend. So thank you for choosing us as the podcast that you are coming to. I mean, you are doing others, but let's not promote
this. No,
this
is the main outlet.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
No, it's exciting.
You were the only ones who responded to my email. And I tried to make it cute... but and like friendly, but also say, hey, but I am entertaining. You know, did I hit those marks?
Yeah. Okay. So, listener, Michelle Laurie is one of my heroes. And so it was like Beyonce running to you, like, I don't know, I've done some work singing. Here's some of my stuff. Yeah. And like, it wasn't like you went, hey, I'm a really big deal, which you are. And you were really lovely about it. And then I was like, in capitals to Ellie with all the exclamations, like, Michelle Laurie wants to come on our podcast. So it was very exciting. So
very Beyonce-like. You're so right.
Yes,
very...
it was. You are the Australian Beyonce.
Yes, it's so...
we are Kelly and Michelle.
Yes. I'm ready for your jelly.
That's for later. So we're going to have you on the podcast to talk about your book, but also lots of other things that we're going to just kind of pick off you like monkeys. That's a nice image. Yes, good.
We're going to groom you.
Yes. Oh, that's a nice phrase as well.
Nice. Just don't throw your shit at me.
Oh, well, you know, let's see how much wine we're going to drink later. But we wanted to talk to you, obviously, about Buddhism as well, because you are the official ambassador. Maybe you should say this, because it is a grand title.
Well, actually, not anymore. That's changed, and now I'm on the board. I'm a board member for His Holiness the Dalai Lama in Australia.
You're a Buddhist board member?
I'm a Buddhist. We have boards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm on the board of Buddhism.
How does that go?
You know, it's pretty chill.
Yeah.
A lot of incense. It smells good. Not a lot of meat. you know, on
not
the
a
old
fan of the barbecue.
No. Not a lot of meat platters going around at the meetings. But no, it's great.
Oh, do you have like board meetings then with the Dalai Lama? Does he like a flip chart? Does he like an infographic?
He skypes in. No, he doesn't. He doesn't Skype in. No.
Dalai_Lama-rama. Here we go.
No, he just kind of says what he reckons, and then it filters down to the various organisations around the world, and we organise his visits.
Where does he stay? Does he like a premier inn?
It's quite
monastic, I feel.
Yes, I know. It's very
it would be
neat.
Appropriate.
Is it? I don't know what a premier
Those
inn
bed
is.
Those runners are quite like prayer stars. I think it's... A premier inn is like a cheap but... very comfortable hotel.
Yes,
I would say.
Yes. Holiday Inn.
Budget.
Yeah. Yeah. A very stock standard 3-star hotel
does
range.
Does it have a door to the bathroom or is the shower in the same room as the bed?
It does have its own, like, bathroom.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's not like your Ibis where there's a weird plastic pod.
Okay.
It's got a separate room.
Well, I'm happy to rubber stamp that on behalf of the board.
Yeah, so there we go. Michelle is putting the Dalai Lama in a premier inn next time he comes.
No,
to
he always stays in a 5-star hotel because people donate it, you know. The hotels and
treat him nice.
Yeah, they want to treat him nice. So he always stays in a beautiful place and whirls around. He's like, you know, when Naomi Campbell walks and her hair just always gets air. Tyra Banks says she just gets air in her hair.
Yeah.
His Holiness always gets hair in his robes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just woof.
He hasn't got a personal wind machine behind
him. No, it's just his walk. It's like
natural kind of.
Like Naomi's walk. It's just something that's a talent.
Oh, and you've met him.
Yes. I had lunch with him once, him and Ian Thorpe.
Well, that's a threesome.
Do you know who that is? The Thorpedo? He's a big gay swimmer from our nation. And and he's a national treasure and we love him very much. And so I had he wanted to talk to His Holiness about I don't even remember, didn't understand it. It was like physics.
Oh no.
Yeah.
All right.
And I was like, bothered. Yeah, but how's your cat? Because His Holiness has a very nice old cat and I wanted to check in on it.
Yeah. Cat chat's better than
cat
physics
chat.
Every time.
Dalai Lama's cat has a book.
All right, we'll put that in the podcast notes.
I mean, sounds amazing.
Good cat.
Yes.
Bloody top cat.
So I've been doing a bit of background research and apparently you are into RuPaul's Drag Race, true crime and meditation. I think we should get married.
Yeah.
Those are like three of my top things.
Are they really?
Yeah. And then true crime. So have you got a true crime
podcast? Yeah, Australian True Crime.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's intense.
Yeah.
And we have guests every week. So we'll talk to like a detective or about a case.
Dude, I heard one where you talked to JonBenet Ramsey's dad.
That happened. Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How? Bananas.
He's not a hard guest to get. You should
opening him an envelope.
Yeah, you should really just ask.
I don't know whether he's the right fit.
How is that doing that for you? Are you quite nervous? I'd be quite nervous about it, I think.
No, because he was super friendly and really outgoing. And it was after that big new series was on TV where they said, look, the brother did it. But this American show went through all the evidence and said, this is it, Burke did it. So his dad was quite eager to speak to that and say, no, he didn't. And so he was really friendly, really great.
But let's go back to the start, Michelle. Yeah. How did all this begin? How did you get involved with comedy? Like, what made you want to get up there and tell jokes?
Oh, well, I had such a funny experience today because I got a bus to Marble Arch. And I remembered the first sort of stand-up thing I ever did was at high school. My drama teacher gave me this thing, and it was a lady carrying on about wanting to get a bus to Marble Arch.
Stop it.
No, I swear to God. And I did it in, like, the Year 12 concert, and it was really funny, and I got a huge reaction, and I got the bug that day. And I'd forgotten about that until today. So, got the bug, and then at, like, 17, but I was 20 before I did my first gig. So that's a long, boring story, but I just went and tried it and thought I'll do it once, but I found it really easy. So I just kept doing it.
No, because I went to a thing called Jeez Louise. And
so
Michelle was one of the what would you call?
It's a conference for women in comedy.
I just remember one of the lines you said, I like to just chat to the audience. And you said, I like to say, maybe in the lady in the front row, ooh, that's a low top.
Oh, it's an interesting decision, but good on you. Good. But you're nasty, but then flick it straight around. So you're like, oh, but yeah, I mean, clearly that was bitchy, but you know, but good on you. No, yeah. I think it's great.
No.
I'm sure everyone else thinks that it's mutton dressed as lamb, but I think it's wonderful. A woman of your age would wear a top like that, I really do.
My dear friend Darren, sometimes if I like text him a joke or a silly line, he'll just write back, I don't care what they say, you've still got it.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yeah.
Thanks.
I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, so you started the stand-up, and obviously, you're originally from Queensland.
Yes, which is hot. It's north. It's very backward. And they won't, well, they probably will mind my saying that, but who cares? I'm here.
Yeah, fuck that's what I say
yeah,
now.
Yeah. No, I always say that. And it was very racist and all of those things, and so I wanted to get to Melbourne, which is a very progressive city.
Mm. And you started doing, like, solo woman shows and doing all lots of stuff.
Yeah, tell us about your show, The Hall Whisperer. What was it?
That was about a little break, a sidestep I took from comedy, and I worked as a receptionist in brothels, which are legal in Melbourne. Are they legal here?
No.
Okay, so they're legal in Melbourne. There's lots of rules around them, but they're legal. And so for about 2 years, I ran brothels and then wrote a show about it.
How was that?
It was great.
Really?
Yeah, it was great until I turned on it, you know.
Yeah.
And got really mean with men who came to the door. I set a Doberman on a man once at the front door of a brothel. I kicked another man so hard up the arse, he left the ground. His body left the ground. Because he's drunk. So they're just annoying,
yeah.
You know, just drunk idiots at your door at 4 a.m, you're tired. And
well, this, I'd imagine that'd be quite a scary job. Like, you must deal with some real loons, don't you?
You do, but I think the stand-up helped. I was very confident and good at portraying confidence.
Did you hear the one about the horny old man?
Yeah. Very good at portraying confidence because I emceed a lot. Do you call it emceeing or comparing?
Yeah, emceeing, yeah.
Cool. So I was used to dealing with people, I guess, and kind of shutting them down. So I just did a lot of that in the doorway.
Mm. And how did that work? So you were like a brothel with what? I've never been to one.
She doesn't know what a brothel is.
Talk us through a brothel.
Okay, sure.
I've never said that.
Well, the first brothel I worked in was a transsexual brothel. You would have loved it, babe.
Oh,
yeah.
Babes.
Babe, you would have loved it. It was so fabulous. And
oh, my God. Did you get a lot of blokes coming in going, oh, I want a woman. I definitely want a woman. I mean, with a penis, but I'm not gay, though.
Lots of not gays.
Yeah, with a penis.
I'm not gay. Yeah. And the girls would say, the first thing they do is go for your cock. The more they protest about not being gay downstairs, the faster they go for your cock.
I just have this vision
upstairs.
The guy walking with a t-shirt saying not gay.
Yeah.
Going, hello, I'd like to sleep with a lady person.
Penelope.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was fabulous and lots of drag makeup, and they would do my makeup when it was quiet and we'd do drag shows and it was fabulous. So what happens is a man comes to the door, I answer the door, I take him into a private room, and then I get the girls to come through and introduce themselves one by one, talk about their services. Because all services vary slightly, and that's a private situation too.
I specialise in bumming men who are not gay.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you would have done great.
By the way, I missed your call.
Yeah, I could make you a lot of money. If you're ever interested.
This is the moment Ellie changes career.
That's totally my tagline. I'm telling him, now, just to check, you're not gay. Because you don't look gay, obviously. No. And I really don't want to, you know, no, thank you, sir.
I think Vanessa is for you.
I know. Yeah. Any poofters near my cock, yes. Say that to them. And then what would happen? And then they'd book someone and they'd take them upstairs. And I had to wash the towels.
Oh.
And not only... You can cut this out if it's too gross, but
our listeners really love it.
So not only did I have to wash the towels, which means obviously being careful where you pick them up and things like that, and just having a really good look at them.
Tongs? Did you have tongs?
No, it's a bit like that. But I had to, at the end of the night, empty the condom bins. So there's a bin in the corner of each room, and the girls just put the used condoms in a plastic bag. Do you know what we used to use? Nappy bags.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Practical, yeah.
So wrap them in a nappy bag and chuck them in the big bin. But then at the end of the night, I'd have to, like, and you have to push the air out.
Listener, if you're eating at the moment,
I'm so sorry.
Perfect fodder for a comedy show.
Yes. If you're on your way to work right now, just think it could be worse.
Yeah,
it could be wherever you're headed. Yeah.
So you went from brothel to stand up.
Back to stand up. So yeah, and then I thought that could probably be a good show. So I wrote the show and everyone loved it. And I came to Edinburgh and I did the Sydney Opera House for 2 weeks, I think, or three.
That's amazing.
It was.
That's like dream come true.
It was amazing. It was really cool. And I remember when I I hadn't spent much time in Sydney, and they put me in a beautiful sort of apartment, and I could see the Opera House when I opened the curtains in the morning.
Oh, stop.
But the first couple of days, I wouldn't open the curtains because I was so scared of it. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to look at it. I thought, oh, my
too
God.
Soon. Too
I
soon.
I can't go over there and do this. This is ridiculous. But it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then how did you get into telly and radio and all that?
It just kind of happens, I think, in Australia. You just you get a go eventually, don't you? You know, there's a sort of a great sense of justice about Australian comedy, I think. And when you've been around long enough and you've been good enough at stand-up, people go, bloody... Get her in here. She deserves it. At first, it didn't work at all. I was scared. No one knew who I was, so no one laughed at my jokes on TV. And I'll never forget being on a show with Will Anderson was hosting it. He's a great comedian. And twice... he just repeated what I said and he got the laugh. And he even said to me later, he goes, I don't know, because he was young too. We were young and he was hosting, but he was already quite famous. And he said to me, I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I felt like they didn't hear you. But moving into live television was really challenging. Initially, I, again, clammed up, was just too scared to be myself, you know, and that took a lot of practice and daytime television. I started working on this daytime TV show, which is all those things, was cheesy and... it was
The Circle?
The Circle.
Yeah.
But it was great.
So is that a bit like Loose Women, isn't it? Or is that...
I think so. I've not seen...
Yeah, so it's like a women's panel. Where... Yeah.
And, like, we go from talking about a very serious issue, like, you know, euthanasia, to the kitchen, where we're going to cook a stir fry, you know.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And feed your family for $4. So it's that, you know, so it was that. But it was live.
Yeah.
And it was auto-cue, and it just taught me a lot. And... then that just kind of cured me.
But, yeah, I was going to ask about, because I watched your show reel on YouTube today, and there's an amazing clip of you just talking about cheese to Pink.
Yeah.
What cheese does Pink like? A Stilton, I'm going to guess.
I can't remember. I think it was more someone else's problem, wasn't it?
Mm.
And I was sort of trying to put it into context with Pink for some reason.
I love that you just got bigger and bigger, like, I love cheese.
No, that's right. It's my love of cheese, yes. Pink. That's right. But she's good fun. She plays along, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's fun. Even Kim Kardashian, I'll never forget my life seeing myself in a split screen with her. And that is the cruelest thing you could ever do to a woman. I mean, I'd been in hair and makeup for an hour and a half. I thought I looked okay until I saw myself on a screen next to her.
That's not fair.
That's terrible.
What was she like?
Oh, she was beautiful. She's very sweet. They're very professional girls. Yeah. They know what they're doing, you know.
And Kim, I remember when she came to Australia, because I still follow, she wore basically like a plastic sheath. She wore like this pink plastic. I thought, how are you going to the toilet? And someone told me that the celebrities have catheters.
No.
Yeah. So they don't go to the toilet, and it's all sort of sorted out.
That's disgusting.
I think it's practical. But we mentioned before, I quite like a catheter.
Would you?
Yeah, no. I don't like a catheter.
My father had a friend who got a catheter installed, and then he asked them if they would attach it to a bin bag so we could sit at the pub for longer.
He sounds like my people.
He does. He really
I like
does.
The cut of his chin.
Yeah.
So what's next? You've done books. We'll get to books in a minute, but you've done books and TV and all the stuff. What are you going to do now?
I don't know. I'm excited.
Space travel.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to be in London. Like, this is actually a dream come true for me, you know, to be sort of working here. Not really working if the immigration people are listening. It's not really, I'm not making any money here, but I mean, just...
we are not paying.
No. Promoting a book in London is a big deal for me. That's
well, you have flown here specifically to be on Women's Hour. So, yes. By the way, we should say, I'm Jenny Murray. That's Jane Garvey. Thank you for coming here.
Hello. Yes.
I know the BBC looks a bit different, perhaps, than you thought. With all the children's toys.
And the hand-drawn sign over the door.
And I bet you never knew it was in a domestic house in Catford. But here we are.
It looks a lot more like location than I expected it to. But I like it. But honestly, I'd love to just keep writing. The older I get, the more I enjoy solitary pursuits.
Yeah.
You know? Things I can do at home while my children are at school. I love writing books. But if I could come here more times, I think that would be really fun.
It's very nourishing, London. And it's weird still, because I grew up in like a tiny country town in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I still pinch myself when I see like the Tower of London. Ellie gets so sick of me. I'll be at like Paddington Station. I go, Paddington! Paddington. She's like, shut up.
I know.
Shut up. He's a fictional bear.
Driving here, I was looking in everyone's windows with their lights on, thinking, ooh, you live in Brixton. Ooh, that's so wonderful.
Ooh, lovely London.
I mean, no, I take the piss, but fuck me. If you ever took me to Ramsey Street, I would just fall over.
Would
I'd
you?
Just explode. The waterhole, get down Lassiter's, have a pint in Lassiter's, fucking explode. I'd absolutely explode. Well, let's do book chat then.
Yes, let's do book chat. Yes.
Michelle, tell us about your books.
Okay, I have two, I believe, on sale for the good people of the UK.
Yes, I've checked Amazon. They can
wonderful.
Purchase both.
Both Buddhist-based. Now, don't freak out, because all it is about me going, okay, this is a crisis in my life. I love Buddhism. I'm going to go and find the Buddhist teachings that pertain to that and put them together in a very Western, easy-to-read way. So, and using my shit life as an example of how you can apply it. So, the first one is Buddhism for Breakups. My husband and I broke up after 19 years together, but very friendly. Still some occasional benefits, but look, we'll keep that under our hats.
And under something.
What was the catalyst for the breakup then?
What was it? I just unhappiness, basically. Yeah. But, you know, the big teaching in that book is that everything's changing all the time. We are changing every rock, every mountain, every river, every person. We are changing all the time. And so oftentimes in relationships, you know, we look at our partner and we accuse them of not being the person we married. Well, of course they're not. Mm. And so it's really difficult to keep up with the person that they are becoming every day, day after day. And parenting was really hard for us. We'd been together for 11 years. We went through IVF and had twins, and oh my God, I just saw a different side. We saw a different side of each other.
Yeah.
I'm a really loose parent. And he is the kind of person, he moved heavy pieces of furniture in front of every electrical outlet in our house. He's terrified for the children. He's so panic stricken.
He sounds dreamy.
All the time.
Tell me again why you split up.
Oh my God. And I am just loosey goosey, you know, fine, like you'll be fine. You're bleeding, man. People bleed. Shut up, you know. So yeah, that caused a lot of fights with us. So that was the big teaching that came out of that one.
Have you done lots of talk about breakups, and has that been one of the things people have come to you, or you felt you can talk about now?
Yeah, definitely.
You're on the other side of it.
Well, and writing the book was the therapy for me. Like writing the book, I didn't know all that stuff before I wrote it. So I was just in a mess. And so I found lots of books about how to stay together, but none about how to break up. So I went and found the teachings, and through that we broke up really nicely.
So were you into Buddhism before the breakup, before all this stuff happened? So you sort of knew a bit about it.
Yeah, I've been into Buddhism for about 12 years. That was more career stuff initially. I was feeling all those emotions, you know, jealousy. And so that's why I got into it originally, to help me sort out my emotions. But when our marriage was breaking down, I deliberately kind of didn't go into Buddhism because I knew what it would tell me and I didn't want to hear it.
Really? What was it? What would it tell you?
It would tell me to let it go,
right,
basically, and I didn't want to hear that for a long time. So it took me a long time until it was absolutely sort of beyond repair to go to Buddhism for help. I'm slurring because of the wine. Buddhism for help.
Buddhism.
And I got the help. And Impermanence is the name of that teaching, by the way. If you don't want to buy the book and just Google it, I'm happy for you to do that.
Because you had like a trial separation with your partner.
Know, and I was so desperately worried about being alone. I said, come home.
Yeah.
And he was like, really? And I go, yeah. And then he came home and it was still shit.
So you're like, okay.
We've actually
got to do this.
Yeah. And saving my crying for nighttime when the kids were in bed.
Oh,
it was horrible. My kids were 3 at that stage, 3 years old. So I was having another sip of wine.
But you came out the other end with the help of what was sort of the most helpful thing in the Buddhist arena?
I love the arena. So for both career and relationship, and honestly, everything in my life, the biggest thing for me is controlling my emotions. I'm an emotional person, I guess. I don't know if I'm more so than most people, but disciplining my emotions, that's a big core tenet of Buddhism. So saying to myself, you know what, no one makes me happy or makes me unhappy. Those are my reactions to things, and I can control those.
Mm-hmm.
So when I decide to be angry at something, then I go out in the world angry and I interact with people angrily and I create more problems for myself and I get angrier. Mm. But when I decide, you know what, that's a shit thing, but I'm not going to be angry, and I just let it go that fast and go out into the world not angry, I have a better day. And
but don't you have ever moments where something has just really fucked you off? Can you really turn it on and off like that?
Sometimes it takes some time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, but through the process, it's called a practice for a reason, you know. It takes a while. Through the process, I learned to take a moment, talk myself down, have a deep breath. Sometimes it takes a while because I really want to be an asshole sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to yell and scream and it feels great and I'm a big swearer and I want to swear. And I do swear, but I mean, I just try and get over it as quickly as possible and not inflict it on anybody else and then just go back about my life. I mean, shit happens. The first thing that happened to me in London was I left my phone in the taxi from the airport, you know, and I was just like, and I was just like, oh man, like I'm just not going to panic about that. It's just no one died. Yeah. It's just a bit of a shit thing. I can fix
it. Well, you wouldn't know if someone had because you haven't got your phone.
Exactly. But I thought it's fixable. Whereas, you know, in the past, I probably would have screamed blue murder and cried, maybe panicked.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the lovely man bought my phone back, so it was fine. But you can choose how you react to things. That's the big teaching for me in Buddhism.
So, and then, yeah, so tell us about this book.
Buddhism for the Unbelievably Busy. This one's sort of harder in a way because this one I had to really confront my ego and go, oh, God, I'm so busy. Oh, sorry, I'm late. I'm so busy. I'm sorry I missed it. I'm so busy. And then people around me start saying, I know you're really busy. Don't worry about it. And it becomes this wonderful identity that you're so important because you're the busiest person. And even my children, you know what I'd say to them? Hey, come over here, Louie, and give me a cuddle. He'd go, oh, too busy. I'm like, oh, no, where does he get that from?
Yeah.
So I decided firstly I didn't want to be unbelievably busy anymore because it's shit. I was really depressed and tired and worried that, oh, my kids are growing up so quickly and I'm not really, you know, spending that time with them. I missed a lot of first days at school, school concerts, missed a lot of that. It's too busy. You know, I had to sit down and think, okay, why am I so busy all the time? Is all of this stuff really necessary? And it's really not. It's really just a lot of kind of ego boosting stuff on one, in sort of, there's a category that's just stuff that makes me feel good about myself because when I go there and do that thing, people will flatter me. There's part of me that goes and does these things because there's a lot of money, because I have these huge financial goals that are really, when I think about them, kind of pointless. Do my children have to be millionaires by the time they're 20? Probably not.
Probably not, no.
They'll probably just waste it all on a fucking quinoa bar or something, you know, and still be like, no one gave me money when I was 18 or whatever. Yeah. No one bought me a car. No one bought me a house. But here I am working thinking, no, I'm going to amass this fortune for my children, you know, but never seeing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a process of going through and going, oh, I'm not actually unbelievably busy because I'm really important and talented. That they're not actually the reasons. Mm. The reasons are that I chase those things.
Yes. Yeah. I read something similar and, yeah, saying you choose to be busy.
Yeah. My friend Susan says to her husband, Waleed, she goes, when you say yes to them, you're saying no to us.
Mm.
Isn't that clear? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And then I picture her and their kids at home without him and I go, oh, wow.
Sad emoji.
Yes, sad emoji.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So what's your process now when someone asks you to do a thing? You're like, well, you know, is it in Catford? Will they give me free nuts?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what brought you here.
Maybe it is. Well, I'm here because I want to keep writing. And so I need to sell a lot of books to be able to do that, honestly. So I thought, oh, wow, if I can sell a lot of books in England, I'll probably be able to afford to keep writing at home.
Yeah.
You know, and be home when the kids come home from school and work while they're away. So that's why I'm here in Catford. Yeah.
Have you got better at saying no? Because I think sometimes it's quite hard to say.
Well, there's a few things about that. Firstly, your friends will understand. That took me a long time to understand that myself and to stop lying to my friends to get out of things. Like, I realized I can say to them, I'm so sorry. I will have been away. I need to be at home with the kids that night. I just am too tired. I need to be able to be honest with my friends. And most of my friends are in the same boat and they go, babe, I get it. Mm. So being honest with your friends helps. Now I ask very clearly what's in it for me. And it's not meant to be a mercenary thing because it's not always money. But sometimes you realize there's actually nothing in this for me. Why am I driving across town?
Yeah.
On a Sunday night, there's no money. There's no friends there. There's no nuts. Why am I doing this, you know?
I'm practically giving myself away for free.
Right, because someone asked me and I don't like to say no.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this. And rather than just cancel on the night and lie about sick kids, you know, I've learned to just take a moment.
And that feels better. I mean, it's the initial kind of sting. You're like, all I want to do is please. You want that hit.
Yeah.
You get those amazing sort of endorphins or whatever it is. The dopamine's going, I'm being a really good person right now.
Yeah.
I am that guy that can give to everybody.
Yeah.
But really, the ramifications or the kind of the ripple effect is that you just feel shit and the plates that you're spinning start to crash. Yeah.
And self-care is a real thing and it's a really important thing. Mm. You know, there's a saying, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Mm.
So you need to be able to fill yourself up so you can help others. But there's a lot of pressure on us to be all things to all people, to be having it all, you know. There's a lot of backlash against that at the moment. And I do think, you know, you probably, I think I have had it all, honestly, but you probably can't have it all at once.
Mm.
You know, like I've certainly had a great career. I've got my twins. I had a great marriage. And I am optimistic about the future. So I think I have had it all.
I never thought of it like that before. Yeah, you can have it all, just not all at the same time.
That's all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man.
Have it all.
I feel so fucking zen. I can't even begin. I always like to reduce months and months of hard work by guests to like a tiny sort of, you know, shallow limerick almost, Michelle. What would be your one nugget of wisdom to give someone who's like, right, I'm going to buy your book. Obviously, I'm going to read Buddhism for the Unbelievably Busy. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, what's the one thing I can do right now to feel better about feeling mental with my life?
Think about, really, it's going to take your time and you need some quiet, and that's really hard to get as well. Why are you doing everything? Like, literally, maybe make a list. I'm really busy because I've got this job and that job and I'm driving the children to all these activities and doing all these things. Make a list of them and then go, why?
Mm.
Why am I doing that? Okay, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that? And I think that's what I did. I just went through the list and realized that there were things on there that just didn't make sense anymore.
Why am I doing him? Oh.
Right, exactly.
Get rich.
Because the other thing I realized was there was a big part of me that was still working on like this like list of things I drew up when I was about 20.
Yeah.
You know, like you should be on every TV show in Australia, you know, and then I go, why?
Yeah.
It's actually just a really long, boring day and it's not very much money and no one's going to see this show. You know, so why am I...
What is the end game? What are you actually getting out of this?
When I was 20, there were reasons to be... So it's, again, reevaluating that list that you've got in your mind that you're working to check off and you're working so diligently. Does it still make sense for you? Because you've changed. This is, you know, back to how we're all changing all the time. Who are you right now?
I am someone who likes a pair of slippers and a scented candle.
Wonderful.
Do you know what I mean? So fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Fuck you, Vegas.
We'll get there. We'll get there one
good
day.
Stuff.
I couldn't think of anything worse than Vegas.
Oh no, that's our dream.
I really, it is.
I love it. Come on, you like RuPaul's Drag Race.
I do like RuPaul's. I like
the
watching
glitter
it.
And the,
yeah,
you know,
in my slippers at home with a scented candle. I want to go there. How awful.
Oh, lovely stuff. Now I believe you've got a game for us, Helen.
I have. Now, regular listeners of the podcast will be familiar with the game Anything for Money.
Wonderful.
And so what we're going to do is an Australian version of this.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, so Michelle, what we've got is a bag of names, we've got a bag of sex acts, and we've got a quantity of money.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I mean, after doing this, I realised you worked in a brothel, and it's probably slightly insulting, but anyway.
No, I mean, I can assist others in doing things for money, but I'm not, you know, I've never partaken myself.
All right, okay, well, let's find out if you would.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So
can
you
I
go
just
first?
Say, I never know who you know or what you know about Australia and England. I always think, are we some weird kind of outpost like Iceland to you guys? Are we like some place that's like, could be another planet that...
Well, no, because we have neighbours and Home and Away. That's basically our entire
and
knowledge. Is basically,
and the Minogues.
Yes. The Minogues.
It's basically the Minogues and Stefan Dennis. We just imagine you all sort of look like him.
Wow. Yeah.
Stefan Dennis and I share the same birthday. Ellie is so thrilled.
Because ironically, a lot of Australians don't know who he is. So strange, isn't it?
Yeah, he's
wonderful.
He's so big here. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of delve in. All right. John Farnham.
Wow. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Yeah.
John Farnham and would I let John Farnham come in my hair for.
Well, yes. We can finish the game now.
For $2.50. I would, yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're the voice. Yeah.
I'm quite surprised at that because you don't like mess. She doesn't
like
mess, everywhere.
No,
but he's such a lovely man.
Would you let him do it in your hair?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
He's such a lovely man, isn't he? You'd just be like, finish off, John.
Yeah, you do it. So who's this?
Oh, my goodness. Shane Warne.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Have you met him in real life?
Oh, we've had dealings. I don't think he likes me very much because I make a lot of jokes about him. And they're not flattering. Oh, anal. Warning.
This side,
you
Warn.
Cheeky bugger.
Is Michelle the receiver, presumably?
Oh, well, that's a really good question, actually.
Yeah. For how much?
$72.
Yeah, I've got it in our money, Michelle. Would you do anal with Shane Warne?
Oh, look, it depends. I'm not against a favour for a mate. Let's see. But it depends on how nicely he asks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Anything for money.
Ellie.
Good on you, Warne.
Go down under, Ellie.
Also, it's sort of nice to think you've been where Liz Hurley's been, isn't it?
Yeah, that's nice.
There's something nice about that.
Something shared.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got...
Who have you got, Ellie?
Oh, okay, interesting. Now, the act is rim job.
Oh.
Am I performing it or am
I
receiving it?
Yes, you're doing it. You're doing the licking.
For $24,000.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, what's that, 50 quid?
Yeah, pretty much.
How much is that?
A couple of
that's like
manger sandwiches.
£10,000.
Yeah.
So for £10,000, would I perform a rim job on Kylie Minogue? Of course I would.
Oh,
yes, she would.
So many sandwiches of pret a manger.
Anything for money.
Anything for money.
Oh, little Kylie. And she'd eat clean. She would eat
clean.
Yes.
She will have drink bleached.
It would count as one of your five a day.
No. Yes, it would.
That's fabulous. So nice. Oh. Jermaine Greer.
Oh, yes.
Tit wank. Tit rubbing, I think.
Oh, God. They'd
Do you
be
actually
angry.
Know what a tit wank is?
Yes, which when they put the penis between your boobs and then he goes up and down until
so
he...
So you've got to put Jermaine's angry penis. She's always angry.
So angry.
So mad.
So angry.
Why so angry, Jermaine?
She needs a good tit wank.
Yeah.
For $22, yes, please.
Would you do that?
Yeah,
why not?
Oh, that's a good dinner party story.
It really is. Yeah.
Did you tit wank Jermaine Greer? Yes, I did.
Harold Bishop from Neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Blowjob. I'm giving him a blowjob, presumably.
Yes, presumably.
For $2,151.
Oh.
So what's that, about a grand?
About a grand.
No.
Not for a lovely old fella.
You know, we were talking earlier about saying no to things and asking what's in it for you. What's in it for me? Giving
Yeah.
Is Ian Smith the actor's name? Yeah. His name?
He was very fond of a leather jacket, Ian Smith.
Yeah.
Whenever the Logies came around, now Logies are like the BAFTAs, he would wear kind of, you know...
Are they like the BAFTAs? That's being very generous.
Yeah.
My ex-husband once screamed Harold into his face at a supermarket.
Still, but he lives for that.
Oh, he looked like he really loved it.
Yeah. So we have one more round.
Yeah, one more round. Right, so I have Peter André.
Oh, lovely.
National hero.
Good he start.
Is. Hand job. I mean, that's neat. I mean, that's everyone can do that. And for $104. Yeah, what?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm no mysterious girl.
This is fine.
Oh, yes. Hello, Peter.
Yeah.
Thank you for your wonderful service. 200 years of culture and you're the pinnacle.
Yes.
This is not one.
Jordan was crazy. I'd slip in. Oh, wow. Well, this is interesting. Okay. Because this person's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Adam Hills.
Oh, no.
Would I drink his wee? For $1 million...
Yeah, you would.
Hilsey, I'm going to say damn straight I would.
Somebody phone Adam Hills. She knows him.
Damn straight, babe.
Tell him to get a Pyrex jug and
let
rip and a straw.
Yeah, no problem. Again, a very clean living fellow.
Yeah.
And I know his wife. She wouldn't mind a bit.
Hi, Ali, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's few people whose wee I wouldn't drink for, like, the best part of a meal. Like, what is that, 500?
That's a house. You could buy a house with that.
God. Yeah,
wee sterile. That's what Nurse Jessie says. Let's see. Oh, I do like him. I'm a fan of this man.
Oh, great.
So let's see. For $148 Australian dollars.
Oh, that's heaps.
Would I lick the frosty nips of Paul Hogan?
Oh! Well, the fun thing about those is they're now located behind his ears. So he doesn't have to even get undressed.
No.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah. Wonderful game.
Oh, good stuff. Now, we do like to round off, Michelle, with a Scummy Mummy confession. Have you got one you would like to share with us?
Okay, I'm going to put my friend, my bestie Donna, in on this one. But she and I are both guilty. We were once at a play centre, you know, and we were there with her youngest child, Joseph, who was crawling at the time. And she and I were sitting on some kind of structure near him. We could see him. And I said to her, is he chewing something? And she said, I don't know. And then we got back to our conversation. And I hold us both responsible for this because then another mother came over with a Band-Aid that he had been chewing. And I said to Donna, I said, was he by any chance wearing a Band-Aid when you got here? And she said, no. And I think that's pretty scummy.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's delicious.
That's a lovely one. Oh, super happy. Now we have a listener confession from Tanya Wellman. Hello, Tanya. She sent us a picture to illustrate this, which was nice. She'll put it on the Instagram probably. So she says, hi, Helen and Ellie. My daughter started school last year in Australia. In the early days, while learning to read and write, they created several books where the teacher filled in the words and they drew pictures. The first one was, I like sushi. I like Lego. I like sushi. That's fancy. That's
Australian. That's a very Australian, thing. Yes. Yeah.
Imagine my horror when she brought home, I went to the... And the first page was, I went to the pub.
Yes.
Oh, love it. Thank you, Tanya. I love that. That's great.
Very, very Aussie as well.
Reminds me of my daughter did a drawing the other day of her whole family. And for some reason, she drew her father on the toilet screaming. What is that? And I said to her, why? And she goes, I just thought it would be funny, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's like, what teachers must think?
Yeah.
Why is he screaming? That poor man.
That reminds me of one of my favourite confessions at one of our shows recently. This little girl, the teacher said to this little girl, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the little girl said, I want to be a lesbian. And the teacher said, okay, why is that then? And the little girl said, well, because my mummy said, if I don't want to be disappointed, be a lesbian.
Wow.
I think it won, didn't it? It won that night. She was the queen of scum that night. So
yeah,
well
in Cambridge.
Done
well done. It was an amazing night. It's
my favourite.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think that's about it, Thorn.
I think it is. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so
for
much.
Choosing us.
All the way from Australia just to tell us, you know, what you would do to Shane Warne for money.
Oh, look. Where are we again?
Yeah,
Catford.
Yes, thank you. It's been wonderful being in Catford.
Yes. Oh, you're the first person who's ever said that. God bless you. And your books are out now. The new one, Buddhism for the unbelievably busy,
and Buddhism for Breakups.
Lovely stuff.
And I mean, there's a true crime podcast, so you can have it all. Really,
you've had literally millions of downloads on that.
2 million.
2 million.
Yeah. Amazing. People love crime,
don't they? They want that. Yeah. They do want the gossip and the Nitty Gritty podcast, Nitty Gritty Committee that Michelle does is excellent. My absolute favourite was one with Adam Richard, which made me wet my pants.
Oh,
literally.
Thank you. That's excellent. Just interesting people, that one.
Yeah, and the Rachel Berger episode, do not miss.
Everyone
has to listen to that.
When your parents are Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
You know, it's cheery.
Well, she's a comedian, so she makes it cheery.
She makes it amazing.
But yeah, it's an amazing story. Yeah.
It's a great show. So, yes, do all of them, Michelle. And while you're there on the internet, why not buy our book, Ellie Gibson?
Yes.
It's still in print. Scummy Mummies, out now. And if you like our podcast, please rate, review and subscribe.
That's it. And we're going to be touring all over the fucking country, aren't we? We're even going to Belfast, Ellie.
So it would seem.
Yes, yeah. In May. So anyway, check scummymummies.com for all our tour dates.
Well, that's it. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, hello,
go,
Rusty.
Go. Okay. Oh, finger his bum.
Oh, fingering Russell Crowe's bum.
Well, I'm already going to say that unlike Kylie, I don't trust him to eat clean. So I don't know what you'd find. For $1.85, no way, Rusty. No way.
No deal.
No, because you would have eaten Italian or something like heavy.
He'll be so disappointed. And he's here tonight.
No, oh, Russell,
sorry. Sorry, Russell. No, go. No, she said no, Russell. She said no.
No, not for $1.85. No. You can't get anything for $1.85 in Melbourne.
No.
Not these days. No. You used to be able to get a crunchy for that, but
yeah,
no.
Not even a chomp.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.